I think we're recording. Good morning. It is wonderful to be with you on this Transfiguration Sunday. This is one of my favorite gospel stories in all four gospels because we can't make sense of it. You know, cognitively, we want everything to sort of line up and we want to understand how everything happens, but with the Transfiguration story, we can't. It's impossible. It doesn't make sense. Jesus and his friends climb up a mountain, and all of a sudden, Jesus is standing with Elijah and Moses and is changed in some way. And Peter and James and John, later on in the text, want to build three tents. And Jesus says, no, 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 don't do that. And then Jesus says, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody what you've seen. Keep it a secret. We want a story, as human beings, we want a story to be neat and tidy and take a whole bunch of that cerebral power, but we often want to leave the heart of the story, the experience of it, in the background. And this morning's gospel lesson says that we can't do that just by it being there. An interesting part of this morning's text is that Peter, James, and John all have the same vision, right? In other places in the Bible, these visions are experienced only by one person. Think about Moses. Moses in the burning bush. He's the only one there. He's the only one that has an experience of God breaking into humanity. Moses' experience is intrapsychic. But this morning's is collective. It's interpsychic. And three people witness what happens to Jesus. There's some other connections between the Transfiguration story and Moses, and that is that Jesus, Peter, James, and John all climb to the top of a mountain. Now, I have to tell you, I've climbed Mount Tabor. It's a hill. In fact, the town of Wayne probably sits at a higher sea level than Mount Tabor does. It's sort of like climbing Mount Pisgah. You can see for a while, right? But it's not very high. And still, Jesus, Peter, James, and John all climb Mount Tabor, climb a high mountain, the text says, to enter what in our tradition is a thin space. That's why Old Testament and New Testament people climbed mountains. They believed that it got them closer to God. It's a thin space between earth and heaven. And in this thin space, they see a miracle take place, an inbreaking, or maybe an outbreaking. You see, this morning, when Jesus is transfigured, it's not necessarily another way that God is breaking into humanity, God has already done that in the birth of Jesus. And it's not necessarily Jesus' realization of who he is. Jesus already did that at the baptism, the other place in the Gospel of Matthew where God says, "This is my son, listen to him." It's the embodiment of the Holy Spirit in Christ. It's a realization for Peter, James, and John that Jesus is indeed the Messiah. And so they get really excited and they want to tell the world what they've experienced. And Jesus says, "Hold it. Not yet. Wait. Wait until others have experienced something similar." Have you ever tried to tell somebody something so outlandish that it's true, but it's so outlandish that you know they're not going to believe it? Have you ever tried to do that? Yeah. Or maybe somebody's tried to tell you something and it's completely outlandish on the surface, but it's true. Imagine a friend of yours or a family member coming to you and saying, "I just climbed up Mount Pisgah and my friend was transfigured." What are some of the things that come to mind if you were to hear that? My first concern would be for their mental health. And I don't think people around Peter, James, and John would be any different. They would be really, really concerned. They'd want to get them help. So Jesus, I think, is in some ways allowing them time, allowing humanity time to have a similar experience. This morning's text also sits squarely at the beginning of Jesus' journey toward Jerusalem. And not just because of the way it falls in the church calendar, but the where it falls in the text. If you read the chapters after chapter 17, Jesus starts making moves toward Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, of course, is where Jesus rides in to the center of Jerusalem, and then later on prays in the garden, is arrested, is convicted, is crucified, and then is resurrected. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, and the story of Jesus praying, Peter, James, and John are the only three with Jesus in the garden. Interestingly, they're the only three that witness the transfiguration. This experience this morning for Peter, James, and John is a real visceral experience. It's an embodiment, a belief. Paul has the same type of experience when the scales fall from his eyes. people who are healed by Jesus have the same experience when Jesus says, get up and walk, or your faith has made you well, or any number of other things. And for us, the reader and hearer in the 21st century, God says, like God said to Peter, James, and John, this is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. This does two things. If you remember, Jesus at one point asks Peter who he is. And it confirms who Peter says Jesus is. The second thing it does is it confirms who Jesus says he is. Now, this is important because as Jesus moves towards Jerusalem, the promise had been at that time that Elijah would come back. And for Peter, James, and John to see Moses and Elijah standing with Jesus is confirmation that Jesus is not Elijah, is not Moses, but stands with them. It's a promise fulfilled. For Matthew, like for us, there are two concepts that are uniquely linked. I would say love and heartbreak. Right? Think about deeply loving someone that maybe you've lost, or the grief that you feel when something happens to somebody that you love. You can't have great love without great heartbreak, great grief. For Matthew, it's divine glory. It's love with agony, suffering. To experience God, you have to experience both heartbreak and love, both divine glory and great suffering. This morning's text is an introduction to the divine glory that Jesus experiences and that we experience when we follow Jesus. But it also points to the great suffering that Jesus will experience and that we as human beings experience in our own lives when we dare to love. I think Peter's wanting to build the three tents, the three booths, is a way to hold on to Jesus. Hold on to the experience. And when you experience a great love, you would do almost anything to hold on to it, wouldn't you? But Jesus says no. And then Jesus says, keep this a secret until it's time. And from here, Jesus heads to Jerusalem, is arrested, is crucified, dies. But then the promise is that Jesus will be raised from the dead. Amen.